Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we learned that even though a man might lead a godly life, it is possible that some people might not even recognize his testimony. Let's resume that discussion today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I remember another man. Oh, was he a problem? But in time, he's lost one child to homosexuality. He's lost another children, not have much to do with them. His wife has died. And living a life of immorality, yet at one time, he was a deacon in the church. Now, actually, that man, after all those years, called me up and apologized, said, boy, I really messed up. And we talked for a while and had a good time of rejoicing, and I was able to even start communicating with him again, although he lives in a far different place than where we live here in Florida. So we see things like that, and the glory is that they repented. The shame is what they had to go through because they made a god of their children. They made a god of their lust. They made a god of things that just weren't so. And so, my friend, don't let your children become your god. Because you love God, put him before your children, because that's going to be the very best thing you can do for your children, because they need to see leadership from their parents, not capitulation to their desires or lust or what have you. So again, when you look at verse 9 here of our text, we're seeing some things, but foolish questions and genealogies. Now, if you ever read through the Bible, for an example, you get the book of, let's just say, Chronicles. And you see so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so. Now, I read the Bible through every year, and that's one of the hardest things to keep up with. But you know, one of the things I've caught on sometimes is that it'll say somebody was a mighty man, somebody was a righteous man, something like that. And yet there's no stories about him in the other parts of the Bible. Just know that he was a righteous man. I'm so encouraged by that, because you can live a righteous life and nobody that you're around really cares about it. You're not in the limelight. You're not much said about it. You just seem like a average, and yet you're trying to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. But the Lord takes note of it. It may not be in lights now, but it'll be right in the light when you get to heaven, because the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So just stay true to God. Just because the world doesn't recognize it, the world doesn't need to recognize it. Even fellow church members don't need to recognize it. Just as long as you're pleasing unto the Lord, that's what he wants, to be holy, righteous, and pleasing to him. So, here it was, verse 9 again, foolish questions besides those genealogies. What are those foolish questions? Well, back years ago, back over 1,000 years ago, there were arguments among theologians about how many angels could get on the pen, the head of a pen. Okay? Now, when you think about that, the head of a pen, how many angels can get on the head of a pen? Angels are spirits. Okay, but they're talking about how many can get on it, you know. And so let me just say, some of the questions that we ask, we're seeking an answer. Always get an answer to a question from the Word of God. But if it's a foolish question, foolish questions like that I said of the angel, or I've had people say, on one person said, they yell hallelujah in the church. And I think they're just doing it for attention. Well, you don't know the motive of their heart. You don't know what they feel. I remember one man they said that to me about. His wife was telling me years later, just before he died, says, you know, one thing about him, he'll be sitting back there listening to the Christian radio, our fundamental broadcast network and our Christian radio station, which is part of that network. Said it'd be about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and he's just praising God and shouting hallelujah again back there in the house. There's nobody else around but his wife in another room. And he just gets excited about it. But I'm just saying that that's it. When you get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of shouting. Okay. And there's a great sermon by Harold Seitler of years ago, who's with the Lord now. He preached a sermon on the four hallelujahs, and I tell you, that's a tremendous sermon. But I am saying that the foolish questions, a lot of times people are asking questions about other people, and has nothing to do with doctrine, has nothing to do with service of the Lord, has nothing to do with things. They're just wanting to find out the latest gossip, they're wanting to find out the latest whatever, and that always leads to a problem. And so, actually, those are the kind of people to avoid. And when they come to you with foolish questions, now somebody says different things like, well, what's wrong with? And whatever they ask what's wrong with is always something of the flesh. They're more concerned about being able to do things that their flesh desires than to think of what the Spirit of God really wants them to do, because that'll never lead you to growth in the knowledge and understanding of the very person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you want to know Him all the better, seek to know His person. Not why do you have standards? Why do you preach so hard? Why do you preach the Bible? I mean, I had a person one time say that to me. People aren't going to get saved if you keep preaching the Bible. Right after they said that, we had about three or four people saved in the service. But it's just those kind of things that get going. People start questioning things in church. They start making accusations, and that genders questions, and questions end up hurting a church's testimony and quenching the work of the Holy Spirit. Avoid foolish questions. There's a reason. It's called foolish. If the question is not speaking about a clarity made in God's Word, it is probably foolish. That's why some people, as a pastor, sometimes I have to give counsel. On a couple occasions, had a lady in the office, and by the way, preachers, there's two things I do when the lady comes in my office. I open the door and keep it open and make sure that she is sitting on the other side, not near me. And preachers, that's wise. It can avoid a lot of foolish accusations. But I've had them say, and they've gone through a marital problem, and say, all I want is someone to love me. And you know what? I've given each one the same answer, and that same answer has ended the conversation, and they never came back about it again. And that was, they were down on their husbands, and then say, I just want someone to love me. Well, I believe their husbands did love them, but I said, well, God just wants it to be. I says, there's nothing wrong with your desire, but it's your husband's the one God wants to love you, and that's the one that you've got to win his heart. If you don't think he loves you, then you've got to be more loving. For some reason or another, that ends the conversation. Because that man isn't what she has decided he should be, and instead of what God is leading him to be. I've had pastors in my office, I've had missionaries in my office that just getting off on these other things has created problems in their life and ministry. So, again, you're told there, foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. Now, we're going to say more about that in just a few moments. Contentions and strivings about the law. Now, my friend, I'm very adamant about some things, and I'm very adamant about when people want to read some scriptures and go to having a discussion. That is foolish. My Sunday school teachers, I don't want them opening up the class to discussion. Some people are very well trained and gifted in discussion. And they can make points that sound really good, but they aren't. I've had them say, well, I don't see anything wrong with a social drink. I said, have you ever drank cough medicine? Then you've drunk alcohol. And they convince some people with that, but my answer to them is, well, why don't you, the next time you're going to have a social together and you're going to, people you're with social drink, just serve them cough syrup. And they give me that look like, oh, what's wrong with you? Well, they're trying to use it as a reason that it's all right to drink alcohol, so it makes sense to save their testimony that they're not serving real alcohol. Okay. So, again, that's the way foolishness is. It justifies itself in carnal arguments, not biblical truth. Wine is still a mocker, and strong drink is still raging. Isn't it interesting how Proverbs makes a distinction and condemns both? Now, the wine, so often in the Bible, you see the word wine, you think of alcoholic beverage. It's not always that. As a matter of fact, it's just as much grape juice, if not more grape juice, in the Bible. But the word they gave it back in that day when they were translating was wine. There are some words, for example, the Greek word oinos, can be fully fermented, or it can be the juice while it's still in the grape. And some people would take that juice, if you just squeezed it out and got a fresh cup of juice, they would say, oh, you're drinking wine. Well, they wouldn't say that now, but in that day, the word, they said, oh, you're drinking oinos. You're not drinking water, you're drinking oinos. You're not drinking milk, you're drinking oinos. But that could mean different things. And so it could be anywhere from grape juice to fully fermented wine. And one of the ways you can tell is by the context of the scripture. Just think. Now, I can tell you two things. Look, and I'm using these things, these arguments here that I'm talking about, because I'm trying to show you foolish questions. I'm trying to show you some things that just gender strife and seek to take people away from the walk of righteousness and true holiness, which our lives are supposed to be reflecting.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.